back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena Rod, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and congratulations on taking over the breakfast slot.
Oh, thank you. It's it's good fun so far. I'm sure it's going to stick around like that too.
Oh, it certainly will. There's no end of fascinating things to talk about.
Exactly. Especially at the moment, there is a lot going on in Aotearoa and beyond. Should we start with the zero carbon bill, which has been talked about a lot, and which I know you've talked about heaps as well? Do you want to talk us through a little bit about some of the sort of implications of what's come out of last week's announcements and why some people are sort of a bit frustrated with it as well?
The bill is a very good start in terms of laying out what the legislation has to be guide us through to substantial reductions in emissions and then half a chance to do something about mitigating. We won't avoid altogether the climate crisis that's underway. But inevitably, on one hand, there were people who feel that given the scale of that crisis and the speed with which it's escalating, the bill is nowhere near tough enough. Mm. So, for example, there doesn't seem to be any real penalties in there other than the obvious one, we have a far worse climate.
Yes.
But no consequences for emitters and stakeholders in the out there in the economy if these challenges aren't met. But on the other hand, there were these squeals from vested interests, that not all of them, some of them, and not all in every group. So there are farms out there who are onto these issues. But who say that it's all completely too tough and completely unreasonable. And the common mistake there is, it's one that Andrew Hoggard, the Federated Farmers Climate Spokesman, said, is that he feels that this was, I think he said the word was punishingly hard or something like that.
Right.
Because he has no idea how on earth he could pull off a methane reduction of by 2050 of the scale envisaged. But that's exactly the point of the legislation. We don't know how to do half this stuff, but the point is if we don't set those targets and focus policy and investment and science and technology and everything else around them, we'll never get there. So I thought that was a particularly unhelpful comment by him.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, because it does sort of represent, I guess, a lot of critics of climate bills and things like that's thinking as well. What I'm kind of interested in also is talking about how do we make it seem possible to make those changes for groups like farmers and other large emitters in New Zealand. How do we sort of help make that possible, I guess, if that makes sense?
I think there's the key elements there are to, first of all, be completely realistic about how urgent this is, how grave the crisis is, and how short the time is. But then encourage people that we know there are some pathways that we can follow, and we know the sort of ways we need to focus our efforts on those. And then the third thing is, it's incredibly important that the front runners in this, the real leaders, stick their head above the parapet. There are farmers out there, for example, who are substantially reducing their emissions, are getting more diversified, more resilient farms, both in financial and ecological terms. And those need to stand up. But that's true in all sectors. You absolutely have to have those very encouraging, brave, ambitious frontrunners who can lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I guess it is, you know, looking at all factors of society and where we can find new ideas of leadership. I'm looking at a wonderful photo at the top of your latest column as well of all of the school strike students. And it is just such an amazing, inspiring piece of activism to see kids absolutely just standing up for what they believe in and also being total thought leaders as well in that sense too.
Yes, and also the parents who offered to do the detention
yes,
for the kids if their schools were so ridiculous as to punish them for going.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like that's a badge of honour. You should wear if you've got a detention for going on a school strike, you should definitely wear that as a badge of honour.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the other thing that I thought we might talk about this morning is a little bit about what's happening in France at the moment with the Christchurch Call Summit that Jacinda Ardern has set up. So what's sort of been coming out of that? So America said they're not going to sign up to it. But how does this call actually affect anything? What's this going to do?
The fact that the US won't go along with it makes things harder, but not impossible.
Mm.
So, for example, we're seeing the big effect that the European Union's work in recent years on data privacy and protection has forced those global providers like Google and Facebook, etc., to obviously fall into line in Europe. But those standards have had an effect on company practices elsewhere. So the fact that the US doesn't sign up doesn't mean that this won't work. It makes it harder, but there is still a real leadership role for elsewhere and the rest of the world to play. It is tremendously complicated, both from, in all aspects, technologically, politically, mm-hmm. sort of culturally and everything else. And I'm afraid I really struggle with all of those as to see how we might be able to make some progress.
Mm-hmm.
What encourages me is that growing anxiety, fear about the deeply negative impacts of these technologies and these business models is really escalating fast. And I think that a public pressure for change is going to, and some controls and some mechanisms is going to play a useful role there.
Right.
And I'm fascinated to see how the next couple of days are going to play out in Paris.
Fantastic. Yes, I'll be really interested in that too, I think. And the last thing I wanted to talk about this morning as well is the fees freeze policy, which I still find very difficult to wrap my teeth and tongue around. Fees freeze policy that the government brought in to make first year of tertiary education free for incoming students. And the idea, I guess, was that eventually it would be for all stages of tertiary education, at least an undergrad would be free as well. And now they're thinking about maybe revising this. What do you think about that, and what's that sort of mean, I guess?
That economic reality has resurfaced, which makes the Labour's promise at the election look just like a campaign inducement and enticement it was. There is unfortunately a real economic reality to how hard it is to provide free fees. A few countries to some extent have made managed to pull that off because mm-hmm. they've made a very big social commitment to that. And I think that as we look at the very fast-changing nature of work and the technology involved and the structures for work and all the rest and all this emphasis on continuous learning of people through their careers, that we've got to find a way to solve this problem of being able to continue to educate and upskill people at very little, if any, cost to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a great societal challenge. But trying to just keep the old model going, which is what we're doing, making that old model more expensive by making it free doesn't seem like a very practical solution to me.
No, it certainly doesn't. And I guess there'll be a lot of disappointed people, students particularly, if that change happens. I guess there is a lot of, campaign promises that were very targeted at young people, and I think there'll be a lot of debate about that, I imagine, in the weeks to come.
Yes, I'm surprised that the government sort of raised the white flag quite so soon, but there is some pressing reality to it.
True. All right. Well, thank you so much, Rod. Lovely to chat to you.
Yes, likewise, and look forward to all the coming weeks, Rod, when we'll chat.
Certainly. All right. See you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.